Okay, we started last week on this journey, it's a six-week journey, of thinking about reading our Bible. To most of us, I hope, you'd be like, well, no duh. We all read our Bible. I've probably read my Bible thousands of times. You probably have, some of you guys more than me. So the issue that you say, oh, and I'm another class on Bible reading. No, my goal and hope is not to do, and we talked about this last time, hermeneutics, which is how to study the Bible. My goal is to get it so you guys enjoy and are encouraged by actually opening up your Bible and reading it. Because so many people today really struggle with that. It's like, I read my Bible, but it's a discipline. Like, I set my alarm and I do it. And my hope is that you would read your Bible and go like, this is cool. I want to. And so the reason how I get there, a lot of times, is I just say, what we're doing now, which is think about why we're doing what we're doing. So we talked about that last time, a little bit about a big picture idea. We gave kind of introduction, which you can find online on our website. But what I want to do today, we said what we're going to do, is we're going to actually take sections of our Bible and think about how do you read it? And so what I did, I didn't take every section because you can divide everything up, but I took the big pieces. So the first, and we're talking about this today, is the Torah. That's the law, the first five books of the Bible. Then you got the prophets. What are the prophets? Anybody want to give me one?
Isaiah.
Jeremiah.
Amos.
Joel. You guys picked all the latter prophets. How about the former prophets? Anyone else besides those? Moses is a prophet, but that's the Torah. Sure.
Samuel.
So you got Samuel. Kings, Judges, Joshua, those are the prophets, according to the Hebrew Bible. So that's what we're going to talk about next time. And then we're going to talk about the Psalms and Proverbs, because if you do read your Bible, and you read how to read your Bible plan for a year, a lot of times what they'll do is they'll have you read your Bible slowly, but you read Psalms three times and Proverbs six times. Well, why? What are you actually reading? What's the deal? And then talk about the Gospels and talk about the Epistles. We'll go to the New Testament a little bit and think. That's what we're doing. We're doing this today. So this is a review of last time, which is we talked about two ways to read your Bible. The first way is the way I was taught when I was a kid, which was it is your marching orders. I discipline myself to read my Bible so that I can generalize principles from the Bible. And so it's never, you've got to make sure you generalize. But once you generalize, you've got your principle for daily living. And I suggested there's a better way to be thinking about reading your Bible, which is to be encouraged in Christ. And that's to understand to grow in grace and the knowledge of Jesus. That's a Bible verse, 2 Peter 3:18. So I said, hey, this is actually a little different way to think about why I'm reading my Bible, because as I think about I'm trying to get a generalized principle, then I'm like, oh, what am I doing today? What am I focusing on to improve myself? Versus, oh my goodness, how does this help me know Jesus? So that's what we're doing in this class. This is going to be the most diagram-heavy class we have, so I'm sorry. But this is kind of how I was taught. I don't know if you guys were taught this too. It's kind of like what you do is you read your Bible. That's the Bible, and it kind of glows because the Bible always is kind of holy. And so you got a glowing book over here, and you observe the Bible. You make lots of observations. You read. And that helps you to interpret it as it was intended to be understood by the person it was written to originally. So you got to decide who that is. But most of the time you're thinking like, oh, like that's an Israelite in the Old Testament, right? And then you generalize so that you can apply it, which means like do stuff to you. Any problems with this? You guys like, yeah, that's Bible reading. Or what? What do you think, Steve?
Jesus.
Where's Jesus? Where is Jesus? Where would you put Jesus in this? Great. Because I'm like, wait a minute. I actually do know more. It's called progressive revelation. I know more than that guy. Why do I know more? Because the Bible was continued to be written. And Jesus Christ came. He didn't come then. He came here. So I'm actually needing, as I look at the original intended reader, that's great. The old covenant in the Bible, in the Old Testament, right? It's the old covenant. And I need to make sure that I'm seeing it through the lens of the new covenant. There's a story to the Bible. And as we read it, I'm like, hey, where is the story? And as you get that, you start going, wow, this is helping me with part of the story, but maybe it's helping me with that part, but I'm in this part. So making sure you get this, super important as you read your Bible on a daily basis. As I open my Bible and read it, which I do all the time, I'm reading it going, hey, how does this fit into my story? That's what I'm reading. And we talked about this last time. It's like, I so wish I could have like been a fly on the disciples' like garment as they're walking with Jesus. And he's explaining all the scriptures. That's the Old Testament. The things concerning him. So even when we read our Old Testaments, we're thinking about, wow, how does this concern or look at Jesus? Okay. Again, this is my last review, but here's the last review slide. So as we thought about the Old Testament, we thought about, okay, how do I read to find Jesus? If I'm not reading to find a generalized principle for daily living, which there are some, you can do some of that, but on my daily reading, I want to say, I want to find Jesus. So we talked about the need for Christ. Why did Christ need to come? Which means we're going to see a lot of failure. Do you see a lot of failure in the Old Testament? Yeah. Why do you think it's like that? And by the way, why do we minimize it? We take Moses. Moses was a prophet. What else was he? A murderer. David, man after God's own heart, was a adulterer. OMG. Like we don't talk about that. We just talk about his good stuff. No. That stuff is there to show a need. And we gotta go. Because guess what'll inflict you in your life? Sin. Well, not me. Yeah, don't go there. Because 1 John says what? If you say you don't sin, you're a liar. Okay. So the law helps us to see the command, high law of God, really good, helps us to see how people fail in our need, failure in mercy. We see actual pictures of Jesus in the Old Testament for sure. Sometimes these are called types. Sometimes they're less than types, but they're also sort of images of how God works in Christ. The promise is in the Old Testament. That's the gospel. The gospel is the promise. Give me an example of promise in the Old Testament. Anybody? Say that. I'll never flood the land again to Noah. Beautiful. Anything else? How about what did God promise Abraham? Was that, it's just a promise, right? Abraham, if you make sure that you obey me, then I will maybe do this for you. No, Abraham was put to sleep. And God promised him while he was asleep. Cool things. How about David? I promise you, David, you will always have a forever king on your throne. It's going to be, and it's pointing to Jesus. Of course, pictures of Jesus, gospel, rescue. So God's character seen in Christ. So all these things, we start to go, oh, I'm supposed to be reading my Bible thinking of this stuff. Because this starts pointing me to Christ, the most amazing gift I'll ever have. And that's what I want you guys to grow in, this amazing wonder of Christ. Okay. So this is the idea done another way. I tried to help you guys because you'll hear this language at our church. You might not always hear it at your guys. But the law and gospel, how it's divided. The law is the commands of God, the rules of God, the expectations, the obligations, conditional. If you love me, I will bless you is a condition or not a condition? It's a condition. If you don't love him, he's not going to bless you. And we fail, so you see it all the time. The idea that God rescues us from our failure is the word of promise. That's the gospel. It's a gift. Gifts aren't conditional. Well, I hope you guys haven't experienced that, you know, where your parents give you some great gift, but then you mess up, so they take it back. That's not a gift, right? I don't know. There's some term for that, but it's not gift. There's loans. Is a loan a gift? No. Gospel's gift. Mercy, it's unconditional. And you don't go back. The gospel doesn't say, oh, now that you've gotten this gift, let's go back to have you fail again. The gospel is the gift. And you want to read it that way. So even in the Old Testament, as we start thinking, where are we? So there, now we get to what we're doing today. And I'm sorry for the delay. But this is the division, the Hebrew division of the Bible, the Old Testament. So you get three divisions, which is Torah, Law, Nevi'im, which is prophets, and Ketuvim, which is the writings. So this is the sort of the idea. We're starting over here, this big group, and saying, how should I be thinking as I read that stuff? So most people, if you read the Torah, what you really read is the first half of Genesis. Maybe you get to the first half of Exodus. We generally skip the second half because it's all about the tabernacle twice. And by the time we hit Leviticus, we're like, whoo, maybe I'll just go to Proverbs. So it's hard. So there is difficult reading. So as you read it, it's like, it helps if you're thinking, what am I doing as I read this stuff? That's what we're after. And so to know that, you kind of got to know the story. So I gave you this slide. It's on your in the handout, so you can do it. But this is the story of the Bible, right? If you're going to say, okay, I'm reading this Bible. The most important thing I need to know is context. Because I kind of got to know what went on. So here's what went on. Way back, God created stuff. But our sort of story that we talk about mostly began with Abraham. God calling this man named Abram. And back in 2000, then you got the patriarchs. Abraham, who's I? Who's J? Right. So those are the fathers, if you will. And then with Joseph, they got taken to Egypt and they developed there. They became slaves. This is the story of Israel. They got delivered amazingly. That little blip is all the coolness of going through the Red Sea, getting the law, going to the plains of Moab, and Moses not going in. Because then they went into the Promised Land. This is on purpose. I'm doing this on purpose. So you see that the height of the story is who? Why would I say that? Who got the promises? We got two main huge ones. We got that guy, Abrahamic covenant. We got that guy, the Davidic covenant. David, God's guy in the promised land. Amazing and cool. Lasted through his son, Solomon. And then we get the decline. Dude, bad. Right away, after Solomon. Solomon's kid. Kingdom split. Rehoboam, remember Jeroboam, one of the generals, like, you are such a fool to Solomon's kid. And they split the kingdoms into north and south. That's Israel and Judah. And you get the split kingdoms until they, this is the lightning bolts I put here just to say, when they went away. Because the northern kingdom, which is Israel, taken away in 722. The southern kingdom, which is Judah, taken away in 586, Assyria and then Babylon. So then they went through this 70-year of exile. Then you get Nehemiah and the return. And in 444, you get kind of the end of the Old Testament story, which is when they are back in the rubble of the land. Okay, so that's the Old Testament story. The Old Testament story is coolness. Here's God working. He's doing amazing things. Peaked with David, kind of downward. And here's all the A kings that you can't even pronounce their names and you forget about who they are. And then you get the exile, and then you get the return, and you get Ezra and Nehemiah and all those guys. And the 12 are scattered in here. You get all the stuff. So this is the big story. Which part is the Torah? This bit. All the way till the Promised Land. That's it. You get most of the Torah is that little red piece. Because it's talking about all of Deuteronomy is set where? You guys even know? Where's Deuteronomy set? Deuteronomy is all of Israel has gotten to the plains of Moab and they're about ready to go into the promised land. And Moses says, whoa, stop there. I want to give you four sermons before you go. Plus, I'm going to make you sing a song. Remember the song? You are fat. You are ugly. You are sinners. Okay, memorize that song and you go. That's what it is. You should read the song. It's amazing. It's like, oh my goodness, what in the world is he teaching them to sing? It's cool when you start thinking about, oh, he really wants them to know they're not very good. They're going to fail. Who are they going to have to trust? the mercy of God. Oh, I wonder who I trust. I mean, there's stuff there for us to get, right? So, but that's the story. So mostly this is what we're talking about today. It's this little bit down here. Again, it's just an overview. So I could do it another way. This is the Torah, right? There, it talks, Moses stretches all the way back. Why does he know that? Because God told him on the mountain what the history is about Adam, creation, how the flood happened in Noah, how the promise came through Abraham, their slavery in Egypt, and then finally here's Moses in the Exodus all the way up to the promised land. From creation to God dwelling among his people in Exodus, that's the tabernacle. Cool, how God came and hung out with his people. Wow, I wonder what that might preconfigure of God coming and hanging out with people. You know somebody who did that? I'm telling you, Jesus is always going to be the answer in this class. Yeah, Jesus did. Jesus became God became a human being and tented among us, right? That's the whole idea. Okay. Another way to think about it, I'm just throwing context at you so you have a little flavor as we think through Jesus in the Torah, is this, and this is from a different class that I do, which just tries to teach people one week at a time, take a book at a week and just get a theme and what it's about. So this is the Torah. Here's the theme. Genesis is about beginnings. It literally means in the beginning is the Hebrew name of Genesis. So Hebrews isn't in the Hebrew Bible. The book's called in the beginning. Why is it called in the beginning? Because the first word of the book, right? If you look in your English Bible, it says in the beginning, God created. Oh, the Hebrew Bible says the name of this book is in the beginning. And it's about four events and four people. Again, my goal isn't to try and teach you the Torah, but what do you think the four events meant? Actually, what are the four events?
Creation.
Fall. Flood. Yeah, I know. It's arbitrary, right? And what would the last one be? Creation, fall, flood, and Babel. That's right, the Tower of Babel, where everybody split up. Because right after that, you get to chapter 12, the hinge chapter, which starts to be about people, which is Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then the whole last 13 chapters is about this guy named what? Joseph. Why is Joseph so cool? Say, okay, we're talking, put on your Jesus hat for a minute and think about Joseph. What does Joseph accomplish? He totally saves all of his people. His whole family gets saved and brought into like out of death and famine. It's rescued through 12, oh no, it's rescue through one person. And his rescue is through him getting tossed into prison, going down, and then being exalted. Who does that remind you of? Yeah, it's supposed to remind you of how God works, which is through Christ, right? Joseph is absolutely a picture of Jesus as he saves his family, gets tossed into prison, wrongly accused, but there he is, and then gets exalted. And that's, I mean, Jesus is going to be the bigger Joseph because he's not just tossed into prison. He's killed, but then he rises from the dead. Oh, really cool. So that's Genesis, beginnings. Then you get Exodus. Exodus is about redemption. You get the Exodus, which is God taking his people out and rescuing them through the Red Sea. How could that not be more gospel-y? And then he gives them a covenant. And the whole middle part of Exodus, starting in chapter 19, is about him giving them the law. And then the whole last 15, 20 chapters of Exodus is about the tabernacle and God going to dwell among his people. Again, if I'm reading about that, I'm thinking, oh, God dwelling among his people. How might the tabernacle, God dwelling among his people, prefigure my Savior? And the answer is you're going to have to study it a little bit. But that's your context going in. You're not going, oh, what laws can I do? Old covenant. You're thinking, oh my goodness, God's going to dwell with his people. That's an amazing concept. Leviticus, about holiness, it's the hardest one for people to read because it goes through things twice. One about sacrifice and then about sanctification. Sanctification is consecration, being set apart. What did it mean then? What does it mean now? That's a really good thing to think about. We'll touch on it, but that's almost the whole thing in itself. Numbers, as they fail, really. Like the first generation, God's like, you're not going in. And so they wander around. And if I had the, man, when we do this, it's so amazing to see. They moved like a quarter mile a day, if that, for 40 years. Just think about your goal today was to pick up, walk six steps, and stop. Okay, let's put it down. Oh, well, see what we'll do tomorrow. Up, walk six steps. Stop. Oh, no! What's the lesson? What do you do? It's about order, disorder, reorder. And then finally, Deuteronomy, they're there and gathered, about to go to the promised land. It's looking at their past, present, future. This is about, this is the Torah. This is the whole law. The law isn't just the Ten Commandments. The law, the Torah, is the whole story. And you see all these pictures of God pointing forward to Jesus. It's a good drum beat, huh? Just drum that into your head. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That's what I was hearing. Okay, so this is the idea as you read it through, is you're looking at these things as you read the Torah, the need for Jesus, the command of God to obey that people fail at, therefore they need Jesus, the failure and mercy of God, pictures of Christ, gospel, and rescue. And I want to just think about with me, because we're going to read a couple passages just so we get a flavor for this, because you might be like, Dax, you can do this, you're the pastor, but I don't know about me doing this. Yeah, you can do it. So, the need for Christ. Think about Adam and Eve with me. How does the need for Christ start in the garden? I know, don't look. No. Why? I mean, it is the need for Christ, right? Original sin. Like, they're in the garden, hanging out with God, and then here comes Satan, and they rebuff him because they are good people and they don't sin. No! They go eat the apple. They go share it. You can blame. The blame happens right away. Blame shifting. They're hiding from God. Their fellowship is broken. All those things show the need for Jesus, right? Who's going to restore the broken fellowship that we had with God? The answer is, you can just prime that answer and just shout it out. There's Cain. I mean, talk about the need for Jesus, right? There's Cain and Abel right away in chapter 3. You get this offering. Isn't it? It's one of the coolest passages. I feel like we skip over it too often because God actually talks to both of them. God talks to Cain. He doesn't, before Cain does anything, God's talking to him, right? What does he say? Do you remember? It's so fun to read, you guys. Read it thinking the need for Jesus. Here God says to Cain, he says, you know, I didn't accept your offering, Cain, but watch out, you know, because sin wants to rule over you. You got to choose against it. Okay? That's so good. Shouldn't we choose against sin? And Cain took that to heart with a knife. He killed his brother. He sin reigned over him. He went and murdered his brother. And then God killed him. I want somebody to say, no, he didn't. He didn't. God didn't kill him. God didn't. God put a mark on him. God said, no, you got to understand. That's not the plan. The plan is not, I gave you advice and you took it. And if you took it, great. If you didn't take it, destruction. No, I have mercy. God's so merciful. Right there. Right after the garden. I'm going to say, don't get me wrong. They screwed up royally. Right? Then you get Noah. Not just Cain is a mess up, but the world, including Noah. I mean, don't read Noah with your kids. Oh my goodness, what is he doing on the beach hanging out? I don't know. I don't want to know. But it's not good. And God is at work showing the need for an actual Savior. And so you're reading it that way. Even when you get to the Tower of Babel, sort of the idea, right? Is God takes the nations and he breaks them up because they're getting prideful and they're building towers to heaven. And he said, no, you're not. I'm boof. Because there's going to be a Savior coming and it's not you. That's the idea. The imperfections of the patriarchs, every one of them. We don't know much about Isaac, honestly. But we get a lot of information about Jacob. Was he an upstanding guy? I mean, over and over and over? Anyone? a coyote. Yeah. Even God using that to save his people, because he had 12 kids, but he totally played favorites. He had one he loved. He gave him the multicolored robe, right? What about the other kids? You know, I get it. They sin. They should. But is it surprising that if all you do is love one of your kids, that the other ones are going, I hate it. How come Dad doesn't love me? He did that. I know. And that was the plan of God. And that's because God takes the little and the least, and we don't get it. And so there's things we can start to learn from that, not to principalize for living, but to wonder at how God chose us, because we're the little and the least and the sinners, right? That's the whole idea. So over and over and over, there's Israel, of course. You read about Israel, but man, start reading Exodus and Numbers over and over. Oh, and over and over. I can keep going. And there's tons of examples. Like, let's just take the golden calf. I mean, come on, you guys. Right there, right? Exodus 32. There it is. Moses is up, getting the Ten Commandments. There he is. He's been talking with God. His face is shining. On he comes down. What are they doing down below? They've taken all the jewelry from Egypt and made this calf and are worshiping it. Like, God just took them through the Red Sea. God's like leading them with the pillar of fire. You're like, oh, let's follow this amazing miracle. And they're walking. And then while Moses is up meeting with the thunder and the lightning, they're so afraid they can't even go up. They're like, let's go ahead and make another idol. You idiots. It's me. They're not better than me. But God killed them all. No, actually, God wrote another tablet of Ten Commandments for them. Because he knew. They're not going to do it. They're never going to do it. They need a Savior. His name is... Dude, that's what we're reading. We're reading about Jesus. We have the need for Jesus. The sons of Korah. You guys know the sons of Korah, right? That's where the earth opened up. The people who had like rebelled against Moses and then swallowed him up. Oh, they were failures. And again, I told you about the Song of Moses. We're not going to dwell on it. We got to be moving. That's the need for Christ. Okay, but it's not only, you don't only read the Bible, and you should be struck over and over, oh my goodness, these fools. I mean, there's a whole long section in Numbers, right? Like, it's multiple chapters. It's a significant portion of Numbers about a guy named Balaam. Remember him? His donkey smarter than him. I mean, that's the whole idea. He's a real prophet. He like had the word of God came to him, and God said, but his donkey. Like people are so bad, and yet God is so merciful. That's what we're supposed to be reading about. It's not like, well, what principle can I be to not be like Balaam? Well, listen to God, I guess, but that's a pretty poor little thing to take away from that. It's, oh, why did God do that? So you'd laugh at the stupidity of you. I think it's odd the way people love their sin, including me. Why do I do the same thing again and again? That's so dumb. I'm like, I'm so glad I have a Savior. His name's... I got that. Okay. So then there's, and I just to take one from this column. So let's say we're thinking about pictures of Jesus, just pictures of Jesus, not the need for him, but which is all over the place. And we read that way, you should be like, wow. These guys needed Jesus. I do too. But you should be thinking about there's pictures of Jesus too. Him coming, right? Even, I'll just do a couple quickly just so you see some. So when you read the story of Adam and Eve, there's this thing called the proto-evangelion. Oh my goodness. There's a verse that has a name. What is it? Do you know? That's the first mention people say, so they named it, has gospel. Remember the verse? Anybody? It's the verse that says to Eve, you're going to bear a seed and he will crush, the serpent's going to strike his heel, but he's going to crush the head. That's a reference to who? It's universally seen as a reference to Jesus. First promise. This is coming, you guys. She thought it was going to be maybe Cain, maybe Seth, who knows what she thought. But we know looking back, because we're looking back to the cross, it's a promise of Jesus who's going to save people. And there's Abraham. God's, I mean, we did this last time in Genesis 20, 21, 22, right? God will provide a lamb as the picture of Abraham thinking, I'm going to have to kill my son. God's told me to kill my firstborn, secondborn son. The promised son. Picture of Jesus all the way through. And I'm going to provide a lamb. And indeed, God himself provides the lamb. There's Jacob. Talk about the deliverance of the unworthy. That picture of how God delivers. He delivers Jacob. He delivers him through suffering. If you remember the wrestle with God and the touch of his hip, there's pictures there. Again, I'm not dwelling on each of these. Joseph, deliverance through one. We talked about that already. The Passover lamb. I mean, it's the 12th plague, right? All the plagues are really interesting against the gods. But that last one, where the firstborn is going to die, but if you get the blood of a lamb and you put it over your doorpost, then they'll be passed by. That's a picture of the lamb, Jesus. And I know that because there Jesus is on Passover night, where they recognize this for all time. Jesus says, hey, I want you to think through this. I'm the bread and I'm the blood that saves you. When they're running around out in the wilderness, they get bread from heaven. Jesus, who says, I am the bread of life. As they are there and they get strikes the rock a couple times, but it's identified by Paul, right? That rock was Christ. And Jesus is going to say, quoting Isaiah, out of me shall come living water. That's a picture of Jesus. There's the tabernacle. And if you don't see Jesus in the sprinkling of blood over the mercy seat, you need to study the tabernacle more. It's amazing the blood that covers and atones. And even there's kind of the symbolism of the sacrifices. That's how you're supposed to think of them. How do they point forward to my Savior? Not, I'm going to do them. There's more, but that's just a flavor, right? These are all taken from the Torah. All pictures of stories where you're supposed to be thinking, okay, the need for Jesus and pictures of Jesus. And you go like, wow, it's so amazing that God did this and then he wrote it down for us to look at and knowing who Jesus is. And my eyes have been opened. That's why Paul's so sad for the Jews. He says their eyes haven't been opened. They don't see Jesus in these things. They see, let's try and be good people. We don't see that. We see, one more time, Jesus, right? We see Jesus, the need for him, the coming of him. Okay, so that's this. You also see God's character. That's fine to read and say, oh, wow, God is a God of integrity. He keeps his promises. But you fully see that in Christ. Jesus has been planned all along because we're reading the oldest book that exists. We're talking about something that is thousands of years old, and you're seeing the story of God pointing to Jesus. That's how we read this amazing stuff. Okay, we got about 10 minutes. I want to read something. So I kind of pick and I kind of don't. I just went through and I said, okay, let's grab a passage and let's think through together. Say, okay, say you said, I want to read my Bible today, and I'm in Numbers 21. I picked that because I think most of you guys haven't read Numbers 21 recently. And you go, okay, let's read this amazing passage. From Mount Hor, they set out by the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die? There's no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food. So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. They bit the people so that many people of Israel died. The people came to Moses and said, we've sinned, we've spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray the Lord, take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who's bitten when he sees it shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. And if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. Weird Old Testament story. Let's go to the next one. No, what can I pull out from the way we're reading now? Anybody? Okay, yeah. At the end, we're going to jump to the New Testament, because if there's a New Testament reference, use it. Absolutely true. But let's hold that for a minute and start at the beginning with me. This is really good, Rocky, of course. But what starts to get you right away? We mess up and need saving. There they are complaining again. This is the people who have God's decided are not going into the promised land. They got 40 years of wandering around. Their clothes aren't wearing out. They're getting fed every day. And they're mad. And they don't like it. And they're Moses. Says, why have you done this? We don't even like what we're eating. We don't like this worthless food. And so they're complaining against God. God, they're sinning. I'm like, man, there they go again. Can't they ever learn not to sin? And the answer is, no, they cannot learn not to sin. They sin. I sin. I think it's bad that they sin. I think they would say it's bad that they sin, but they did sin. And so there's judgment for sin. That's cool. You can always read about judgment for sin. Sin's bad. People came and said, oh yeah, we've sinned. They recognize they've sinned. They're not saying we didn't sin. By the way, them just saying they didn't sin is not the means of their salvation. Right? The means of their salvation is God says, take a serpent and raise it up. Now, think about that with me. Why? When you hit a really weird why, you really got to thank Jesus. What does he teach me about Jesus? You can't principalize this. You know, when I sin, I'm going to make a picture of the sin and put it on the wall, and if I look at it, I will. No, a picture of the judgment? You're supposed to be scared? Wild. This is just wild. Make a serpent, set it on a pole, and everyone's a bitten. If they just look at it, they don't do anything. They just look at the serpent, they're going to live. They just look at him and live. But this is directly quoted somewhere, like Rocky was saying, in John 3. Everybody knows John 3:16. What's John 3:16? For God so loved the world, that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What's John 3:14? Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him. So the link is what? The link is belief is just looking at Jesus. Not doing. Whoever obeys Jesus and comes to the serpent and bow, whoever looks to him lives. So Jesus gets lifted up in death, in looking horrible, in taking our sin, because we know in Corinthians he became sin, so that we may become the righteous of God, and that whoever believes in him may have eternal. Talk about a picture of the gospel in the Old Testament. Numbers 21. How do I know? Because it's in the New Testament. I don't have to make it up. So if you see something like that, look for Jesus, right? Sorry, I'm getting too excited, but I feel like this is really exciting. Like this is like, oh, believing in Jesus is just looking at the serpent, looking at the Savior, saying, yeah, I received that. I've sinned. I need Jesus. Boom, done. It's not like, oh, and now if you don't do these 12 things very well, I could go off on that. I won't. We only have 5 minutes. Okay. We say, well, that was a Dax, you chose that on purpose. That was a ringer passage. Because it's so let's keep going. Let's keep going and just think through this with me. I'll be quick. The people of Israel set out, and Captain Oboth, I don't know where Oboth is as you're reading, like, okay, this is getting right away. I see names I don't like. I start to get bored. You just gotta flow with it. You won't know all these names. And they set out from Oboth and camped at Ayabrim at the wilderness that's opposite Moab, towards the sunrise. All of a sudden I'm like, does that mean something? No, you'll know. It'll hit you. They're moving very slowly. From there they set out and camped in the valley of Zered. From there they set out and camped in the other side of Arnon, which is the wilderness that extends from the border of the Amorites. For Arnon is the border of Moab, between Moab and the Amorites. Okay. Therefore it's said in the book of the wars of the Lord, Wahib in Suphah in the valleys of Arnon, and the slope of the valleys that extends to the seat of Ar and leans to the border of Moab. Anything? Anybody? If anybody says Jesus at this point. From there they continued to Be'er, and that is the well of which the Lord said to Moses, gather the people together so that I may give them water. Then Israel sang this song, spring up, O well, sing to it, the well that the princes made, the nobles of the people dug with the scepter and with their staffs. And from the wilderness, they went to Matanah, and from Matanah to Nathael, and from Nathael to Bamoth, from Bamoth to the valley lying in the region of Moab by the top of Pisgah that looks down on the desert. What am I supposed to do with it, you guys? That this is why people say, I'm reading the Bible. I'm tempted. Maybe there's a principle here I can do. Stop it. Where's Jesus? Where do I focus? Okay, there's a couple of things I would say. Then I'm reading this, I'm going, this is a travelogue. They're just telling me they're moving around a lot. If I really wanted to be a student and study, I'd look at where these are. And I would start to realize they're super close to each other. This is the whole, like, we're walking in a circle, and then I'm moving over here, and I now move over here, and he's just moving them around. That's God. He's not doing anything. They're not doing anything. They're just moving around. If there's anything in here, it's this. There's the well which the Lord said to Moses, gather the people together, come and give them water. Jesus is God, is still Yahweh, is still giving his people water as they are sinners wandering around in the desert. They're not going to go into the promised land. He still provides for them as they move around. This is their story. Their story is they got to receive this wonderful testimony of God's action on them and deliverance them from Egypt. And then they didn't get to go in the promised land. Why not? Why not? Why didn't they get to go in the promised land? Yeah. They were part of the old covenant. The old covenant is not your covenant. Where God says, here's the command you're going to do. You obey him and I will bless you. Did they obey him? No, they, like me, I'm not saying that because they're worse than me. They did not obey him, like I didn't obey him. I get to be about something different. What am I about again? Not the old covenant, the new covenant, which is by promise. I get to trust Jesus and live. That's it. So there will be so many passages in the Torah that's an example of the old covenant. And the consequences of it, like God said to them, you will not enter my rest. And so they don't. And so there's passages and passages to prove to you that they didn't. They didn't slip in. They wandered in the desert for 40 years. And that's a huge deal, their lives. And then they died. And the next generation, God's promise is amazing. And it's about his promise. They go. But that's not us. Don't make it you, because it's not. We're part of a new covenant. We look back and say, oh my goodness, God does have commands. They did need to follow them. If they didn't, they got cursed. That's not me. Praise Jesus. Because I'm in the new covenant. I live by promise. I've looked to this greater serpent, and now I get to live. That's the idea. Okay. We got to stop. I don't get to do that one. But that's okay. So this has been a little bit of a fire hose today, because I get excited. I'm sorry. My hope was to talk to you more about how you can process this yourself. You will do fine if what you do is look for the need for Jesus and look for the pictures of Jesus. And you start to do that and the Bible starts to open up. Like, actually, this is why Jesus said, hey, so much is given, you'll start to see even more. But if you can't see it, you'll start to see even less. So you guys all see it because we've all received this amazing gift, who is Jesus. So now we go and reread the law, the amazing story about how God chose a people, Israel. And it becomes about the Israel, who is Jesus, who saved us. And the need for him, the promise of him, the images of him, that's what we're doing. That's the Torah. Next week, most people have at least read some of Genesis and part of Exodus. But next week, we're in stuff that people don't read very much, which is the prophets. And by that I mean Kings, as well as Ezekiel. So, well, it's a huge, broad topic, but we will hit that a little bit with how to do that.